And if you'd please turn in your Bible to our sermon scripture this morning, which is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11 to 32. Luke 15, 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into the distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have had gladly filled his stomachs with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. And I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and he embraced and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. And he was lost, and he has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Come, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'" Bless this, the hearing and the reading of God's word. Now, the prodigal son is one that, if you've been in a church for 5 minutes, you've probably heard a sermon on it. And we hear it so often because it's used in so many references that there are some times I really think that we take for granted and may miss exactly what is going on here. But I want you to take back, first of all, look at who Jesus was talking to. You see, he's already called Matthew, the tax collector, to be one of his apostles. And as a result, other tax collectors and sinners are coming to hear Jesus for what he has to say. And he's hanging around with the bad guys. And all the righteous, wonderful people, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're upset. How dare he do anything to this? So when Jesus gives these and the next few parables that are in Matthew's, he is not talking to the people around him, really. He's talking to people that should know better. He's talking to the scribes and the leadership. And yet, as with each one of his parables, there's layers in what it means and what he's saying when he's speaking. Because in reality, although he is talking to the Pharisees here, he's talking to Israel itself. He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes who are supposed to be so knowledgeable, and at the same time, he's also talking to us as a church. Because it is a story that I'm willing to bet has happened to a lot of people in this room. And there is that secular side of the story itself that touches us. But it's also seeped in Hebrew tradition. I do have to read this one out. Son comes to dad and said, "Hey, why don't you just split up the inheritance so I can have mine now?" Now, he is doing this because he's got a plan. He's young, he wants to get out of town, he wants to have some life, because going out in the fields and working and all into the vineyards and stuff just really isn't making his whole day. He wants to have fun. Now, dad, who probably knows exactly what's going on in his mind, says, "Okay." Now, this brings us up to Jewish tradition, because there are two things going on here. Number one, when he agreed to his son's request, he divided his estate to both of his sons. And that's something that's sometimes overlooked, despite how mad that the son gets, the older son gets. And the whole thing was based on tradition in Deuteronomy 21:17. "But he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is in the beginning of his strength. In him belongs the rights of the firstborn." So the older boy is going to get the vast majority of it. But a while ago, I did preach about this unloved son. Because remember when we talked about tithing in the fast, the firstborn of everything went to God. That included the male child. And because that male child belonged to God, a system was set up where, yes, this is God's, everything will go to him, he'll get the double portion, he will be blessed and he'll get everything, but he still belongs to God. But you also need the oldest child to carry on the family name, tradition, and family business. So it was a way to bring both. You gave your firstborn to the Lord in gratitude, in honor, and in sacrifice, but you got it back. But if we go ahead and look at the same thing, now I'm going to, throughout this sermon, ask you to put yourself in different situations. Taking a look at this in a little bit of a different attitude here. So you have the father, you have the young son, and you have the older son. The young son says, "Hey, Dad, I want what's coming to me now." And Dad gives it to him. We have in a situation today that as those who have come into Christianity, we have accepted the Father. And when we accept the Father, there are certain things, and quite frankly, there are wonderful benefits we get. Grace, mercy, salvation, eternal life. But we also have situations where we run into what happens in our world. And that's exactly what this young man is going through now. I may have all that. I want more. I want everything you have to give me right now. Dad gives it to him. And I'll go back and say, Dad was probably not a fool and knew exactly what was going to happen. But sometimes, as my son told me, after the birth of his first son, was, "You know, I heard everything you told me, but until I lived it myself and I made those mistakes, I wasn't going to listen." And that's exactly what happens. We are given a gift from the Lord, as the Father is giving to the Son here. So what's the Son do? Automatically goes to another town and is having the time of his life. Life is really good. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm cavorting, probably drinking too much. I'm eating whatever I want. I'm doing whatever I want. I'm pretty much wasting my money, and that's exactly what happens. He squandered his estate on loose living. And then an amazing thing happens. Oh, I'm broke. What do I do now? Insult to injury. We get a famine that comes in. He can't get a job. Nobody's going to foot the bill for him. So he has to break it down, and he has to go out and beg for a job among people that are not his people. And what job do they give him? You get to go out in the fields, and you get to feed the swine. Now, according to Jewish religion, the swine is an unclean animal. Contact with that unclean animal makes you unclean. You cannot go to worship. You cannot go to the temple. You cannot partake in ceremonies or social obligations. And this is exactly what this young man has been set into. That's where he's standing right now. And as he's feeding the little pork chops, he's understanding, I would give my right arm to get a few of the pods that I'm feeding these things. And he has come to realize nobody around him cares. And so it finally dawns on him. And I like what verse 17 says, but when he came to his senses, he finally wised up and he realized, you know what? I had it pretty darn good. I ate regularly. I had good clothes. I could go out with my friends and have some fun. He says, everybody that's working for my family, down to the meanest slave, is doing so much better than I am. And here's the wonderful part. This is where it really becomes important, because it does take time for us to come into our senses. There's not one of us here that hasn't done something really, really, really dumb in our lives at least once. That when we were done, we realized, oh man, I'm messed up. But the great thing is first of all, he realized it in himself, and that is so important. He knew and he understood what he had done wrong. And he says, I'm going to get up, I'm going to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I have sinned against heaven, number one, and I've sinned against you because you did not raise me this way. So he gets up and he goes, and a long way away, Dad sees him coming. Now, Dad is thrilled. He is just so happy. His son is coming back for him. Everything that has happened up to this point, I don't know whether Dad knew what he was going through or not. He missed his son and he was worried about him because he loved him. And he rushes out and he embraces him, and the kid actually has the sense to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And that's important. He says, Dad, I know I messed up. I don't have an inheritance anymore. But please take me back. Now, there could have been very many reactions. Dad could have said, I told you so. Ha, 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 what did it get you? Do you feel bad now? But Dad simply hugs him. He holds him and says, nonsense. He sends for the best robes. He wants rings put on his son's finger. He wants the fatted calf to go ahead and be sacrificed. And they're going to have a party and they're going to celebrate. They're going to celebrate this young man coming back to the family where he belongs. Now, there is a very, very interesting correlation here, because everything we talk about here happens in our churches each and every day. You see, God the Father gives us everything. He gives us life. He gives us sustenance. He gives us joy, happiness. He gives us trials and tribulations. And you join a church and you become involved for a while. Or you come with the family and you go up and suddenly you hit 16 and there's a whole wide world out there. You've heard about Christ your whole life. You know what He does for you, but you know what? It looks so nice. The grass is so much greener on the other side that you set aside and you wander away from Christ. It can not be on purpose. It can happen without you realizing it happens as you move away from your church, your family, your people. And to be perfectly honest, God's going to let you go. I'm not going to bring up free will right now, although I'd love it. Those are fun sermons. But you go out there and you get involved, like Todd was talking about in our Sunday school this morning. You get involved in life and you get involved in other things and you start paying more attention to society. I gotta have that bigger car. It's perfectly all right to go out and get bombed once or twice or every day, to chase things, to get into a job where you're working so hard that is your sole focus. I gotta succeed. I gotta have that money. You start idolizing those people above you, politicians, actors, sports figures, people that do absolutely nothing to you, because if I'm seen around them, boy, that's an absolutely wonderful thing. You're searching for happiness. And then one day, you're, well, not fat, dumb, and happy because nothing is going right for you in your life. You find out that nothing you do is making you happy, no matter how much you have or no matter the people that treat you, and you realize, you come to your senses that, you know what? I can remember when I was happy all the time. I can remember when I had friends that I could go to that didn't stab me in the back or turn their backs on me when I was in need. And I need to go back. I need to search and get back into that which will save me. And we do see that, especially among older people, who have spent so much time living their lives in that type of a manner. Now, the amazing thing is exactly what happens with the father when his sons come back. That's exactly the attitude that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has come to us. Father, I'm sorry. I don't deserve to be your son. I don't deserve what you gave me. And that's a conversation I've had so many times when I've invited people back to church. And they'd look at me and go, I'm sorry, how can Jesus forgive me for what I've done? I've been a prostitute, I've been an addict, I've been a drunk, I've stolen, I've hurt people. But the response that the young man gets here is exactly right. God forgives us when we go back to Him. He doesn't give you a lot of recriminations. He does not hold it over your head when you go and you repent of what you have done. See, when we ask God to forgive our sins and we've repented, that's it. God puts it right off the books. It doesn't matter because He has forgiven you. We just need to get it out of our minds. We need to let loose. And like all those people that I had talked to, I said one thing. It says, Jesus is here to forgive us. That's why He came to this earth. So when we made those dumb mistakes, we could come back and He will welcome us with open arms. But like everything else, there's a second half to this story. You see, the older son has been out toiling in the fields, and he's wandering back out, and there is a party going on, and he's confused. Calls the servants, goes, "What in the world is going on? Your brother is back, and we're throwing a party for him. Isn't that wonderful?" "Your father has killed the fattened calf." And so, the older brother really gets ticked. He's upset with dad. He's upset with life. And he's not going to go in. "I'm going to hold a pity party. I'm not coming in to have fun with everybody else." And dad comes out and says, "Please, come in. Join the celebration because it's really important that you be there." And the son naturally goes, "Look, for all these years, I've done everything you wanted me to. I've worked, I've toiled, I've sacrificed. And you know what? This guy goes, he does everything wrong. He squanders his estate. So from now on, he's going to have to earn everything he's going to get because he doesn't have an inheritance. And you're treating him just like he is the peach of the earth." The father's response, "Look, for so many years, And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." He is acknowledging to his son that, "Look, I know you have been here. I know you have been toiling every day. You've done everything I've asked you to do. Your blessings are assured. Your inheritance is assured. So please." But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, was lost and has been found. But let's take that older brother a step further. How about the church? There are churches today that if you've sinned, we don't want you back. And that's exactly what the older brother is saying. "I've done everything you wanted to, and you've let this pervert back into my church. How dare you do that? I've been the good one." And God has to remind us, "I know that. You've been given your inheritance. You are my child. You continue to serve me, and I love you for it." But this person strayed. He went away. And you need to celebrate the fact that he's come to his senses. He was lost and now he's found. He has realized how important it is to have God in your life. It is so important that he knows where he needs to serve. But again, part of the problem we have in some of our churches today is the simple fact that I am so darn righteous, I don't want that sinner to come walking through the door. That I don't know if I can forgive you. I know you were a hooker. Or you finish shoving that stuff up your arm, or drinking that bottle, or running out on your lies. We don't want you here. You're not good enough. But brothers and sisters, think about what would happen if God took that attitude toward each and every one of us. We wouldn't be here. We would be lost. We would be out there in the world where nobody cares about us. This is what is important about this. This is what Jesus is trying to get through the Pharisees and the scribes, fat heads. This world is in trouble. The only thing that is going to get you out of that trouble is to go back to the Lord and serve him righteously, not by lips, not by words, but live your life in love and in justice, caring about all those people, all those tax collectors and sinners Jesus was hanging out with. Because I will say to you, one of the reasons all those people went to listen to Jesus, those tax collectors and sinners, because word got around is Jesus cares about what happens to me. He doesn't treat me like trash. And he wants to help me go from here to here. And he's willing to do whatever he needs. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very careful about how we treat other people, how we look about other people, how we talk about other people. And remember truly that there go through the grace of God go I. There but for the grace of God go I. Because a wrong turn here or a wrong turn there, and any one of us today can be in the same situation. Except we know that we can always come back. That if you repent, you can walk through any door in any church. God will accept you. And he will love you. And he will be thrilled to have you back in his midst. There's no ending to this sermon, really. It's about how we see things, how we view things, how we treat people, what we think of people. And that goes on every day. So please remember, that each one of us, we need to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and now has been found. You see, brothers, we've been, and sisters, we've been found, and it is so gracious and it's so glorious and it's so joyful that we really need to share that with everybody we meet. And on that happy note, I'm going to say, Amen.